We're going to look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. We'll have it on the screen for you. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life, to which you were called when you made your confession in the presence of many witnesses. This is Paul speaking to his young assistant, Timothy, and helping him to kind of keep up his nerve and keep up his courage. How many of you know, every once in a while, you need a pep talk? You ever need a pep talk from somebody? All right, well, here's Paul telling Timothy, get up on your feet. Don't give up. Don't give in. Believe. Keep holding on to the promises of God. And I think this is a message that we as a church need to hear, because there's just so many things that have been coming at us. I mean, just the pandemic alone is enough to get you distracted and discouraged and worn out. But then there are other things, too, that people have been battling. And a lot of it has to do with their inner life. There are thoughts that the devil wants to put into your mind saying, what's the use? You're not good enough. Nobody cares about you. You're going to be overlooked. How many of you know the devil's a liar?
Amen.
And he does never say anything good. And he's never done anything good for anyone. And he's no friend of mine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We've got to listen to what God's word says. Faith comes by hearing, the Bible says, and hearing by the word of Christ. The word of God will strengthen your faith. And we're going to talk about many other practical things to build up your faith. Is there anybody here in the audience today or at home who can honestly say, I need to strengthen my faith? I need to strengthen my faith. All right, you're in the right place. You see, God has a plan for your life. God has a vision for your life. Paul the Apostle said, I press on to take hold of that purpose for which God took hold of me. It's not an accident that you've come to know Jesus as your Savior. God had a plan. God had orchestrated your life so that someday you would know Him. He wanted you to understand that He wants you in His family. It's not just a pity thing, like God had pity on you and say, okay, I'll just give you a break this time, and you're lucky you're in my family, boy. He doesn't treat us that way. He wanted to adopt us into His family from the beginning of time. He loved us before we even knew Him. He died for us. He gave His blood for us. He forgave our sins. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says, God sent His Son Jesus to die for us. God has a great love for you. God has a great purpose for you. But I find that when I talk to many families, and even families in the church, people are struggling with their identity. They forget that they are a child of the King.
Amen.
They forget that they've been given victory through the cross of Jesus Christ. God has a good future. Say it with me. God has a good future. And He's given me hope. Hallelujah. And a good future. But we learn very quickly in life, you don't have to be too old to suddenly realize, and you begin to read the Bible, you see everybody goes through trials and everybody goes through temptations. Everybody. The Bible says these trials are common to mankind. And so we have to roll up our sleeves. We have a part to play. It would be nice if we could just sit back and God would just carry us, you know, in an armchair all the way to heaven, in a rocking chair. But it doesn't work that way. We have a part to play. This victory that we have is a participatory sport. You know, you can't just be in the grandstand. You've got to get down on the field in order to win. Somebody say amen. In the Old Testament, we see God's people many times were challenged by things that were greater than they could handle. I mean, Goliath was a lot bigger than David. The armies of the enemies of God, the Babylonians, the Philistines, and the Amorites, and the Assyrians, these were huge armies, huge nations that came against the little nation of Israel. And yet, against all odds, they overcame. Hallelujah. Against all odds, they won. Because God was with them. Hallelujah. God was going before them. And in 2021, we have the same God that Moses depended on. We have the same God that Joshua depended on. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords.
Amen.
And he has never lost a battle. Hallelujah. Jesus is the captain of the host of God's armies in heaven. When Joshua was given instructions, he had a meeting with this heavenly being, which if you read into the text just before Joshua entered Jericho, he had a meeting with this angelic being. We find out it's actually a pre-incarnate vision of Christ. That's what they call a theophany, a theophany. It was a vision of Christ. And when Jesus sees this being and he's praying, all of a sudden he asks this person, has a sword in his hand. He says, are you with us or against us? And God says to Joshua, no. He doesn't answer the question. You know, that's a yes or no question, right? Are you with us or against us? That's a yes or no question. But God doesn't answer that way. He just says, no, get down and worship me. Take your shoes off your feet. Because I'm going to give you some instructions. This is what I call Joshua meets the real captain. Joshua meets the real captain who is going to win Jericho. You know the rest of the story. They marched around the city of Jericho 7 days, seven times, blew the trumpets, and the walls came down. But Joshua, in faith, followed the instructions of the captain of the armies of heaven. Can you say amen?
Amen.
There were people in the Bible who faced the same obstacles that we face, and sometimes even greater. The people in the wilderness, they became weary. They became discouraged. And the Bible says that many of them failed to believe the promise that they could go in to the promised land. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible says, so we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And everyone who pleases God can see impossible things done. For with God, nothing is impossible. But it takes faith. All of us who approach God must believe that He is the great I Am. And He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Faith is not negotiable. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
When Jesus was walking around Galilee and in Judea and Jerusalem, many times there were healings, and he would say, God bless you, according to your faith has healed you. Your faith has set you free. Your faith has delivered you. Christian faith is not the same as good luck. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
See, the world believes in, well, good luck when they say, I'm going through an illness and talk to somebody and, you know, I'm going for some tests and I'm going for this and I've had a problem with my back or this or the other thing. And they say to you, good luck. That doesn't do much for me. Come on, somebody say amen. I don't want somebody to say to me, good luck. I want them to say, I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for you because I know somebody that is the great physician. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know somebody who can make a difference in your life. I know somebody who can turn your sorrow into joy.
Amen.
Somebody who is the way maker.
Amen.
Somebody who can make a way where there is no way.
Amen.
He is the healer. He is Almighty God. He is El Shaddai. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Last week I mentioned that the enemies of faith are fear, fatigue, and fatalism. The enemies of faith, fear, is the opposite of faith. Fatigue, you become tired and weary. And what is fatalism? Fatalism is when you think nothing good could happen. You know, I messed up last time and I had this problem with my temper and it's always gonna be that way. I have my problem with depression and it's always gonna be, I say no in the name of Jesus. I know a God who can turn things around, who can lift me up like we sang this morning and turn it around.
Amen.
Place my feet on solid ground. Amen?
Amen.
There was a woman by the name of Florence Chadwick, who was a pioneer in women's long-distance swimming. You know, we're coming up on the Olympics now. I'd like to watch some of the Olympic competition. It's very exciting to watch, isn't it? And there was this one woman by the name of Florence Chadwick back in the 1950s. There weren't too many long-distance women swimmers back then, and she wanted to conquer a challenge from Catalina Island, which is 26 miles off the coast of California. Catalina Island, 26 miles from there to the coast of California. Nobody had ever done it before, especially as a woman. So here she is, and she sets out, she's prepared, she's trained, and she makes 25 miles. 25 miles, he's only 1 mile to the coast. He's almost there. Unfortunately, a thick, dense fog rolls in, and she became disoriented. And she couldn't see clearly. She couldn't see what was in front of her. She couldn't see the coastline. And guess what? She gave up. But a few years later, she tried again. And this time, she wasn't going to give up. No matter what she saw before her or didn't see before her, she was determined to go the last mile. And the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, you may see the enemies like that servant of Elisha who saw in the city of Dothan. He woke up one morning, he saw they were surrounded by the enemies. And he's screaming to Elijah, oh boy, we're in trouble. And Elijah says, Lord, I pray that you'll open my servant's eyes. Let him see what spiritual things are, heavenly things. How many of you want to see spiritual things? You want to see the realities of heaven? Because the spiritual realities are greater and more powerful than the physical realities. Hallelujah. God before us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. And so his eyes were open. All of a sudden, the same servant who was doubting, now he sees the hills are full of chariots of fire. God's fiery chariots are surrounding the enemies of Israel. And he knew it was going to be okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know it's going to be okay.
I know it's going to be okay.
Because God is with me.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, God is with me.
God is with me.
And that makes all the difference in the world. This fight of faith is very important right now. I can tell you that there are a lot of people who are slowly slipping away from God. They're getting cold in their faith. They're getting distant. They're being picked off by the enemy. And we know that the devil is not only after us, but he's also after our children and our grandchildren. Look around you. We need to see more young people in this church.
That's right.
Thank God for the Zoom meeting for our youth. I want to just give a little shout out. Tomorrow night at 7:30 on Zoom. See, Sister Marie, Dell, junior high school, first 2 years of college. Get involved. We need to get our young people, our grandchildren even, involved in the church. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. And sometimes the world makes fun of us. You know, what good is prayer going to do? What good is quoting the Bible going to do? Well, I'm just going to tell you something right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments, thoughts, philosophies, ideas. Another way of interpreting that, we come against ideas and every pretentious thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought in obedience to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
See, we're in a battle for ideas. The biggest battle in your life is going to be your self-talk. What's going on inside of you? I remember my father, who had a very, a very homespun way of talking to people because his English wasn't really very proficient. He came from another country and he felt like, listen, I was born in Italy and I'm just going to keep speaking Italian. You know, doesn't matter, I've been here 40 years, you know, I'm just going to speak Italian. But anyway, he was going to a dentist one time, and the dentist, for some reason, decided to tell my dad all of his problems. And he's telling him about this and the other things going wrong and the world is terrible and my wife, I don't know why. My father all of a sudden looked up at him and said, Doctor, you got a change in the record. You got a change in the record. You got to change the record that's going on in your head. A record, by the way, is something for you younger people that is a little disc. Yeah, a record.
You
know. Okay. Wow. And if you remember what a record, vinyl, they call it vinyl. It's coming back. You can pay a lot of money for vintage vinyl.
45 and 33 inch.
So, anyway, sometimes we have this tape going on in our head, a CD, whatever you want to call it, a push drive, going on in our head. And you've got to take charge of that. If all you hear all the time is, it's another day. I'm overweight. My back is hurting. Nobody likes me. My family is arguing. You got to start to realize there's a war going on for your inner thoughts. Does anybody agree with me this morning? There's a war for your mind. Battle of the mind. That's why it says we take captive every thought. Every thought. What I do is I substitute negative thoughts for the Word of God.
Amen.
I say, okay, I'm feeling this right now, but God's word says, if God be for me, who can be against me? I feel this right now, or so-and-so doesn't like me, but God loves me and he gave himself for me. I just keep reminding myself of the word of God and who he is. The world makes fun of things like prayer, humility, fasting, obedience to God, little acts of faith. They think that's foolishness. But for us who know God, those things are powerful weapons. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your prayer is a powerful weapon. Your humility is powerful. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Number one, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Humility is part of a process of power. There's power when you obey God. Power when you walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Look at people like Joshua and Nehemiah and Esther and Daniel and Deborah and Peter and Philip and Lydia. These people in the Bible accomplished great things because they understood there was a power that was available to them that was not seen by the natural eye. But the spiritual reality of knowing God is something that is given to us to help us. The Bible says to each person is given a little measure of faith. Our faith is not good luck. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is the gift of God, not of works, lest it's a gift. Every person in Romans 12 is given a measure of faith. Jesus said, if you have a little bit of faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Help us, Jesus. Faith is the assurance of things we hope for. It gives us the sense of being sure, like not self-confident, but confident in God.
Amen.
You know, somebody gave this teaching, and I thought it was really good, Brother Angel, that your faith is only as good as what it's placed in. Amen? So, you know, I'm going to go get a tooth pulled. I keep talking about dentists today. I don't know why. I hope nobody in here is a dentist. I want to go to a dentist who actually has some experience. Somebody who has the thing on his wall, it's called a diploma and a medical degree. I don't want to go to somebody who just put a shingle on their house and say, cheap dental work. Cheap dental work, $10 to pull a tooth. And you go in there and the guy's, well, he says, I'm a mechanic and I figured I've got these tools, I got pliers, I got hammers, why not use them to pull teeth? You see, I wouldn't put my faith in that person. When you get on an airplane, you want to make sure the pilot is not drunk. Oh, come on now. The pilot has flown a few flights. It's not his first flight. Your faith is not just in luck. Your faith is not in a vacuum. Your faith must be placed in something.
Yes.
And the reason I'm confident today is not because everything's going my way, not because everything is easy. I'm confident because I know in whom I have believed. I know the one that I have believed in. And I found that he has a 100% perfect track record. He has never failed me. He has never lost a battle. Hallelujah. And he ain't going to fail. He's never going to fail. Hallelujah. I want to give you three things in closing that will help you to, if you want to write these down, to help you strengthen your faith, help you persevere in your faith. Number one is so simple, but it's so obvious. Ask God for help. Ask God for help. Number one, when the man in the Bible had a son who was sick and he came to Jesus, he said to Jesus, "If you can help me, Lord, please heal my son." And Jesus said, "What do you mean, if you can? Everything is possible for those who believe." So this man was giving Jesus a hypothetical. "I don't know, I'm not so sure, you know, about what you did for other people, but if you can help us, let me try. You know, I mean, I tried this medicine, I tried that." And Jesus said, if you believe in me, if you believe in God, all things are possible." And the man immediately cried out, "Lord, forgive me. Help my unbelief. Forgive my unbelief. And help my faith, and forgive my unbelief." Can you say amen? Ask God for help and persevere. This is number one. Take another step in faith. God doesn't ask you to take a giant step. He asks you to take a little step. Get your Bible out. Read a verse. Call somebody. Pray with them on the phone. Keep on being kind, even though you don't want to be kind. Keep forgiving, even when you don't feel like forgiving. But keep on loving, even when it's hard to love. Are you with me this morning? This is how your faith grows, a step at a time. The woman in the Bible, Luke chapter 18, kept on knocking on the door of the judge. And he wasn't paying attention to her. He looked out the window. Oh, there's that pesky widow again. And, you know, she thinks she's going to bother me, especially in the middle of the night. I'm sleeping here. Who does she think she is? But her attitude was like, I may not have a lot of money. I may not have a lot of political talk, but I got a fist. I got this little fist here. It makes a lot of noise. When I pound my fist on that door, it makes noise. And, you know, I've known people like this that they get on the floor and they're crying out, "Oh God, help me, Jesus. I plead with you, Lord, I'm not giving up." And that's okay. If you've got to pound on the carpet, go ahead and pound on the carpet. Hallelujah. If you got to shed some tears, but let your prayer and your cry before God be sincere. Don't just pray, "Now I lay me down to sleep and I pray the Lord my soul will keep." That's not going to get it done. Somebody say amen. You've got to get real in your prayer life. Paul and Silas were in prison. They were beaten, whipped, put in chains, put in a dark cell within an inch of their lives. Probably the worst day they've ever had. And believe it or not, around midnight, Paul turns to Silas and said, "Why don't we sing a song?" I'm just trying to put myself in that situation, Brother Joe. My first reaction would be in that circumstance, "Are you out of your mind? Do you realize we have been beaten here and we're in jail? We'll probably be killed tomorrow." And Paul says, "Come on, let's sing that new chorus that we learned over at Catalyst International Church." And they struck up a song. And it says at midnight they were praying and singing hymns. Have you ever prayed at the midnight hour? Is there anybody who said God gave you a song at the midnight hour? Songs are powerful. Song is an expression of faith in action. Praise is faith in action. And you know what happened? God shook the prison and all the shackles fell, all the chains fell off. Hallelujah. That was a powerful prayer meeting. Say amen. Amen. Number two, keep reciting and reading the scriptures. are the power and life of God. The Word is life. Somebody say, the Word is life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, or the Word of Christ. The more you meditate and read the Scripture, the stronger your faith muscles become. God told Joshua, as he was about to go in and take over for Moses and cross over the Jordan River into the Promised Land, he said, God said to him, study this book of the Word, or the law. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. I'll say that again. Study this book of instruction. Meditate on it day and night. You will be and be sure to obey everything in it. Then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. The Word is a very important part of your spiritual life. It is central. The more you immerse yourself in the Word, the stronger you feel. Try to recite scriptures. Try to memorize. I remember I used to walk around with little index cards in my pocket, my shirt pocket. And I would put my favorite scriptures on it, just little 3x5 index cards. And it's a simple thing to do, but it's so powerful. And after a while, you keep repeating those scriptures, saying them out loud, and it's amazing. You got 20, you got 30, you got... In a year, you could learn 100 scriptures. And boy, you got some arsenal. When you know how to recite scriptures for any and every situation, somebody's talking to you, and you got just the right scripture for them. Amen? So keep reading and reciting scriptures. Read the stories of the heroes of the faith. There were people in the Bible who were men of like faith as we are. Or I should say, like physical condition as we are. Like Elijah was a man of like passions, the Bible says, as we are. And yet he prayed. David was a man who was, King David was a man who was on the run and was beset by many trials. Many trials. But once in a while, if you read in the Psalms, you'll notice that he would revert to the testimonies of what God had done in the past. He would remind himself of the mighty history of God. I remember, God, when you did this. You saved me from Goliath. I remember when I was a shepherd. And a lion came to try to eat my sheep, and I hit him over the head with a stick. A bear came, and I also took care of business. Somebody say amen. He took care of business. That bear wasn't going to eat his meat products, the lambs. So, you know, remind yourself of what God has done. Share testimonies. Testimonies are very powerful. Amen. Number three. Spend time with people of faith. I want to ask you as I close this morning, who is in your circle of friends? Now, I'm not saying that you should isolate yourself from the world, because the Bible says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. You need to have some unsaved friends because you want to reach them, amen? But when it comes to your intimate friends, the people who are influencing your life, make sure you don't have a bunch of negative Nancys in your life. Is there anybody here named Nancy? No. Okay. All right. You don't want a bunch of negative people like, oh, what a miserable week I'm having. What a terrible day. And listen, we all have those days. We all have those days, so don't get mad at me. But I want to say, you want to be with people who also have eyes of faith. Have eyes of faith. We got to keep it real. We got to keep it real, you know. But at the same time, we have to look up. Look up unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is a mighty example. Spend time with people who know how to pray. I remember having conversations with my dad and mom, who had gone through World War II, depression, immigration from Europe to this country, poverty, all kinds of sickness. My mother lost two children, one to the Spanish flu. Not the Spanish flu, but in some kind of influenza. And the other, a child that was born, a stillborn child. And she had 9 children to deal with, to feed. And my dad's work was seasonal work. He was a house painter. And there were some winters up in New York and Boston where the snow was so high, you couldn't do any house painting. But we had to trust God. And as I got older, I listened to their stories. And they tell me, when I prayed, God did this. And it seemed like nothing was going to change. But all of a sudden, somebody sent a check, or somebody called us, or somebody brought food to our door. You see, those stories remind you to believe and to trust God. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen? Encourage yourself in the Lord. Pastor Moriello, my wife's dad. I spent 15 years with my wife's dad, who pastored a church in Long Island. And he would just pour his heart into me, pour his life into me. My Uncle Joe, who I've talked about many times, who lived till he was 94 years old, was such a man of faith, such a man of faith. Actually prayed for a baby one time, and God raised the baby from the dead. A dead child was raised from the dead. And so, you know, you have stories like this, and it encourages your faith. But make sure you seek out people who are encouraging, people who have faith. Amen? And finally, this is the last one, number four. Obey in small steps. Did I say three or four? I said three. Well, there's four, actually. Math was not my strongest subject. Number four, take a small step. Take a small step. These people who are being baptized, they're taking a step of faith. Amen? They're going to be identifying with Christ. Let's give them some encouragement. Come on. The Bible commands, it says, everyone who is baptized, everyone who is saved and is baptized will be, everyone who believes, excuse me, and is baptized will be saved. Amen. Baptism is very important. Yeah. And so they're taking a step of faith, shutting the television off and deciding to do the wisdom challenge. Yeah. Starting August 1st. Yeah. Amen. We're going to read through the book of Proverbs, and we're going to read this little devotion book. It's a little thing. It's not a hard thing to do, but it's a step of faith. Are you with me this morning? Watching your vocabulary. This is one of the hard ones. And, you know, because the tongue is like a match. You put a match next to some wood or some hay or whatever, some kindling. Boy. And many of you husbands and wives have noticed that a little bit of bad words can cause a lot of trouble. So, watch your speech. Watch your speech. Very important. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And keep fighting the good fight of faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, for everyone who is born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has conquered and overcome the world. Our continuing, persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Let's stand together, shall we? Would somebody give God some praise in the house? Hallelujah. Give him some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Lord, today we're going to decide one more time to pick up the shield of faith. I'm speaking with someone this morning. You've been fighting fatigue. You've been fighting discouragement. You've become a little bit weary in well-doing. But the Lord sent me here today because I've had those battles too. It may surprise you to know that pastors go through the same battles. Come on now.
Amen.
We go through the same battle. And today I believe this is the word of the Lord for you today. Don't give up on your faith. Your faith is not just in faith. Your faith is not in good luck. Your faith is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his character. It's in a God who never lies. In a God who is good, a God who is for you, and a God who is greater than any problem you have. Hallelujah. Somebody say that with me. God is good. God is greater.
God is greater.
And God is for me. Hallelujah. In Psalm 27, David said, I would have fainted, in the New King James Version. Psalm 27. One of our favorite psalms. Towards the end of the psalm, he said, I would have given up. I would have fainted. Unless, everybody say, unless I had believed. When Paul was in that ship going to Rome, after 14 days of being in a hurricane, and the ship was being battered, and they were throwing off all the cargo and everything that weighed the ship down. They threw off everything, the ropes, the lifeboats. And they gave up, the Bible says, they gave up all hope of being saved. Paul, the apostle, who was a prisoner, he was the lowest ranking person on the boat. Somebody say amen. He was the lowest ranking person on the boat. He stood up amidst that group of 273 people. And he said, don't be afraid. I believe God.
Amen.
We're going to be saved. How could he say that? He wasn't a captain. He wasn't a navigator. He wasn't the pilot of the ship. But he had a relationship with the God who created the heavens and the earth. The God who controlled the sea. The God who is Lord over the storm. Is anybody with me this morning? He is Lord over the storm.
Yes.
He is the God who can say, peace be still. Peace be still. And I want to say that to you this morning. Close your eyes with me now. Put your hand on your heart. I want to speak this word of faith. Lord, we take our shield of faith today. And we say to our heart, peace be still. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. Hallelujah. Give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Father. Pastor Angel, would you join me, please? Hallelujah, Father. Angel, you have that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord.
As we are searching, he told us we are searching.
Hallelujah. Let's just wait on God for a second. I want to ask, it's still a little early. I know that we usually end around this time, but I want to ask you to do something. We talked about taking a little step. Taking a little step and picking up your shield of faith. If you're willing to say to God, Lord, I want my faith in you to be stronger than my doubts. Lift up my eyes today. Help me to have a fresh vision of Jesus. Is there anybody who is relating to this right now? I want to have my eyes open. I want to see you, Lord. I'm tired of looking at my circumstances. I'm tired of looking at the world around me. And my feelings. I want to look at you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. As we sing this next song, I'm going to ask you to step forward. Take a step of faith and make it your business to say, I will follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing this, Brother Angel. I love you, Lord.
Is that it?
And I lift my voice to you. Taking a step of faith this morning. Take a step of faith. Rejoice. I want to just, you may say this is a little bit, maybe it's simple, maybe it seems a little bit naive, but a lot of the things God asked people to do, like taking that little boy's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish, fed 5,000 people, David with a little sling and a little stone, killed a giant. Hallelujah. People who obeyed God saw great miracles. And so I'm asking you symbolically today, I'm going to step out of my seat. I'm going to step into the realm of faith. I want to step into the realm of faith. I want to believe for everything in my life. I want to believe for the burden, my family, the finances. Sing it one more time and step out in acknowledgement of your faith today. I love you, Lord.
Courage. And the Lord sees your courage. courage that you used in taking this step of faith. Oh yes, it would have been easy to stay home. Oh yes, it would have been easy to sit in your seat. Oh, it would have been even easy to come up here without that real sincere song of love to him. But he saw that you took that step of faith today. And I want to just commend you and encourage you. I pray for you, Lord, that there would be a step and another step and another step and another step. And that when we look behind us, we'll see how far you brought us. Mm-hmm. Thank you that small steps of obedience lead to a life of powerful purpose. Hallelujah. And Lord, I just feel led to do this. I know I did it before, but anyone who has faith with me, I want to pray for this piece of property that's right next to us, right here. The enemy sometimes wants to mock us that it's laying fallow. It is not. It's awaiting on the purposes of God. The enemy is not winning in this battle. It is not. But it has taken a lot of faith. And it's been a battle. I guess there's some battle fatigue of this building that we're in that can't hold up a lot longer. It's being held up by the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And knowing how to go to the next step. But I thank God that he is making a way. I thank God that he is making a bridge. That his purposes will be fulfilled. I thank you for every prayer that you prayed with us for this miracle. I thank you for every penny you've given and sown into this. And I believe together God will give us the victory. So today, Lord, we pray in faith. We're praying in faith. Lord, we may be fatigued, but you are not, Lord. We are so sure, Lord, we don't want to be that, but Mrs. Chadwick, was it? That right the last mile, she felt the fatigue setting in. Sometimes when the enemy knows you're closest, he presses hard. But Lord, we claim this in faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. We've got a mighty shout of praise. Hallelujah. Take off every discovery of God. In Jesus' name, we take captive every thought in obedience to Christ. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or imagine, according to his great power that is at work within us. To him be glory throughout all eternity, in Christ Jesus and in the church. And all the church said amen.
Amen.
And God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Thank you for coming today.